Welcome to the latest Watercolors Aquarium Gallery podcast, brought to you from the Kramer Studios in downtown Grand Rapids, Michigan. My name is Ben.
I'm Amy.
And I'm Charles.
Well, apparently we're talking about drinking tonight, and this is our 100th podcast. So we thought we'd do something a little bit different today. And I don't know. Seems like it's going to be fun.
We're tired of talking about aquariums, guys. We're changing gears entirely.
We're going to talk about beer.
What are you talking about? This podcast has always been about alcohol.
Just subtly behind the scenes.
In case you think I'm joking right now, I'm being 100% serious. Today we're going to do our podcast about our top five favorite drinks to have while we're doing an aquarium podcast. Yes, I'm serious. That's what we're going to do.
This is your opportunity to tune out officially if you don't want to hear it, but please stay in.
Yeah, because I bet it'll be funny.
And I would love to hear your drink preferences, too. What are the top five drinks to drink while you're listening to the Watercolors Aquarium Gallery podcast?
But wait, first...
Oh, we also have to do our shameless plug.
Shameless plug.
All right. Check out watercolorsaquariumgallery.com. Find us on Facebook and Instagram. And send us a message at podcast@watercolorsaquariumgallery.com. But also, find us on watercolorsaquariumgallery.com. We have cool merch that we would love for you guys to take home. We've got live plans up there. We've got aquarium supplies. Anything else you're looking for, let us know.
And stickers.
And apparently we're working on trying to add a buy the host a drink button.
Yes. By the time this posts, I'm going to have that.
You're
going to
have it? Okay.
At the request of one of our good friends in Sweden.
Right. And hopefully through one of our good friends in the Grand Rapids brewery scene, which, you know, might do it. All right, so you're probably wondering, why in the heck are we doing a drinking episode for our fish, for our aquarium podcast? There's two reasons. One, we like to have a good beer or drink while we're doing the podcast. It makes it fun. And two, Grand Rapids is Beer City, USA. Sorry, Asheville, South Carolina.
No, you're not.
Screw you, Asheville.
That's right.
Yeah. So really, that's it. That's exactly why we're doing this. We do enjoy a nice, fine beverage. We don't drink urine-flavored swill. I mean, you know, big lagers or pilsners. Well, unless we have to.
We've had a couple of decent goldish things.
Yeah. One of the rules about a beer is if somebody offers you a beer, you don't say, ooh, I don't like that kind. Right? So, you know, I'll drink one of those.
Yeah. My number one starts us off right there. Whatever I'm handed.
Oh, that's good. Are you serious? Is that your number one?
Uh-huh.
Wow, you just got 2 points.
If it's a free beer from a listener, then, like, top of the list. But yeah, if I don't have to choose it, I'm drinking it.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have had listeners bring us six pack before, and that was pretty legendary.
That was sweet. Yep, that was I felt like pretty cool if somebody decided they wanted to make sure we had a different beer for when we were doing the podcast, and that was cool.
Do we need to give a please drink responsibly disclaimer?
Oh yeah, we probably should. Yeah. You know, we should probably do that disclaimer just so y'all know. We do watch our limit here very, very carefully, and we drive home very safely when we're done. We're not getting sloshed while we're doing the podcast.
Even if it may seem that way about an hour and a half in.
Yeah, that's true. That's usually we're getting like a little overexcited and exuberant.
Like a little tired. And
we've record these after the working day.
Yeah.
So we've been working for 8 hours. We're already tired. And then we're off the clock.
I'm going to just... pop in on your math skills there a minute. What time did you get to work tomorrow?
Oh, well.
Yeah, Charles has been working for 12 hours.
So long.
It so has been.
Yeah. Not me.
No, that's right. That's a good way to start it out. And yes. Shout out to...
I've got to try a series of delicious whiskeys that I do not remember the name of, which is great.
Yeah. All right, Charles, what are you starting us off with? So, okay, Amy and I, most of the time, are drinking a good beer. Charles, most of the time, is drinking something else.
I'm generally drinking a whiskey. Mm-hmm. I'm not much of a beer guy. I won't turn one down most of the time, but if there's a whiskey on the table, that's the thing I'm going with. But I wanted to throw a few curveballs in this one, too.
Of course you do.
I've enjoyed making cocktails for you guys on occasion.
Oh, that's been fun. We thoroughly enjoyed that as well.
Mm-hmm. And the one that I wanted to start off with was that time I made painkillers with Smith and Cross.
Yeah, that rum. Was good.
That was really good.
I'm a painkiller fan.
Yeah.
And those were good. I had a painkiller on an island 26 miles off the coast of Belize. And I gotta admit, that one was better.
Mm-hmm.
But well, that might have been because I was on an island 26 miles off the coast of Belize.
Well, turns out apple juice tastes better, too.
Well, and
I wouldn't know.
And part of that is the Smith and Cross is also kind of one of those Jamaican funky ones, and you're not super into those, but
it's still a good... Was that the one that had the butter in it, or was that a different one?
That was the Pearl Diver. That definitely did not make that list. I did. That is not a cocktail I would like to make again.
The top 75% was perfect. The 25% that had butter in it.
Yeah, that was just weird.
Yeah.
The painkiller, huh?
Those were amazing. Mm-hmm. That's so good.
So... That's where I want to start.
I decided because this is Michigan and this is Beer City USA, I needed to start with one that was not only super local, but also aquatic themed. And it happens to be what I'm drinking right now, which is from Rockford Brewing Company. It's the Rogue River Brown.
Mm.
And it's got a great image of a brown trout on it. So... You know, it just seemed thematically appropriate. It's a good malt forward, not too hoppy, darker beer, which is, I'm a big fan of. And it's fish themed, so I thought, who could go wrong with that?
Mm-hmm.
I think that a brown ale goes really well with, particularly if you're talking about freshwater stuff, it goes good with Planet Aquarium or discussions of blackwater fish. So I thought, go with the brown ale.
I like it.
You do get some tannic notes in there.
Yeah, exactly.
How many times can we make that joke tonight? We haven't even gotten to whiskey yet.
The Rockford Brewing Company. I said Rogue River Brewing Company, didn't I? It's the Rockford.
No,
Brewing
you said
Company.
Rockford.
Did I?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Rockford Brewing Company. It's maybe 10 miles north of us. Really cool. It has that feel like a brewery should feel like.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Great beer. Great people. There we go. That's what I'm starting off with.
Yeah, they're great. Fish theme. We've got a couple of fish-themed beers in the roster.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
We tend to migrate towards those.
This one is one of the watercolor staples. No Dignity.
That was on my list, too.
Juicy IPA from Muskegon, Michigan.
Pigeon Hill.
Yes. Pigeon Hill's got a couple of really good ones, but that's definitely up there. Very juicy. Very light and clean, great summer beer. It would be perfect right now with it being so hot out.
Yep. Too bad we don't have one of those tonight.
I know.
I would go for that.
That would be really good.
Yeah. Those juicy IPAs. So the juicy IPA, the hazy IPA, the New England style IPA, they're all kind of a similar brewing style. And they almost shouldn't call them IPAs. So an IPA means India Pale Ale, and it was called that because they take a pale ale and they add extra bittering hops to it because hops are also a preservative so that it can make the trek from Britain to India. That's where the name comes from. And they're typically associated with high bitterness. And so you see sometimes listed on a beer menu the IBUs, International Bitterness Unit. So the higher the number, the higher the bitterness. And the New England styles, the juicies, the hazies, typically have a low IBU number. And so people that say, ooh, I don't like IPAs, they're too bitter, and you offer them a No Dignity, which is not bitter at all.
No.
I don't like IPAs, I don't like that. It should have a different name. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, the No Dignity is perfect because it's not super bitter or super sweet or super sour. It just kind of is that, like, easy drinking level. I love it.
Hits it right in the middle. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yep.
Pigeon Hill. I've not been to the brewery yet, but I've had a few of their beers. It's just, they're a solid brewery.
Yeah. Yes, look for the can with the truffle shuffle on it.
Do you know that gin and tonics have a similar history?
Do they really?
Similar meaning British soldiers in India. tonic water has chloroquine in it.
Oh, yeah.
And that makes you mildly resistant to malaria.
Oh.
So they started rations of tonic water to the troops, and they said, and this is meant as a joke for you, the tonic water was so terrible that they said, let's put it in gin and it'll make it better.
Charles is making a joke to my regular distaste for gin. I regularly refer to it as pine sol. So, you know, let's go for a nice pine sol and tonic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like the only thing that Ben will refuse outright.
Yes. That's fine.
I have to admit, I've had a couple of gin drinks lately that were pretty tasty. I have some friends who came up with this drink. They call it a dirty flamingo.
All right, I'm sold.
I think you made it clear at the beginning of this podcast that it doesn't matter what it is, Amy.
It doesn't take a lot to impress me.
So they take rosemary.
Mm-hmm. Already in.
Put it in an ice tray and then fill the ice tray with grapefruit juice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then gin and soda water. And so the grapefruit juice are the ice cubes with a little bit of rosemary in it.
That's
and then a little simple syrup.
That sounds amazing.
It's a delicious drink. Mm. Even though there's gin in it.
Yeah, and it's not even hidden. You would probably actually taste that gin a little bit.
Well, so, you know, they make sure that when I come over, they've got the cheap gin, which isn't quite as piney. But even with the ones with the Tanqueray, the grapefruit juice seems to, like, mask the pine salt flavor a little bit for me, so I'm okay with it.
That's like the fanciest gin and juice I've ever heard of.
Yeah. Wow.
Was gin and tonic, was that your second one?
I can make it. I had it as one of my alternates.
I mean, it came up. I was only curious if you want that to be your second one or, you know.
That was one of my alternates, too.
Really?
Gin and tonic.
All right, mm-hmm. then I'll talk about it.
All right, there you go.
It's a good one. I have a strong preference for gray whale gin. I like my gin cocktails to be very limey. And in the distilling process, gray whale gin has lime in it.
Mm, nice.
So it pairs really well with the way that I like to make and drink gin.
The Petoskey gin that we both got recently, separately, independently.
We were both like, check out this cool gin. Oh, you already have it.
If we're keeping in our Michigan theme, fantastic, from Northern Michigan.
Probably the best sipping gin I've ever had. I think that's the only gin I would be fine drinking by itself.
Delicious.
It's very floral. It's like the juniper's there, but it's not the punch you in the face kind. Mm. It's almost got like a... Does it have lavender in it?
I don't remember.
It's got something very floral in it.
Also great for cleaning your woodwork.
Fair enough.
I don't know. I couldn't resist.
Mm-hmm.
But... All right, we skipped Amy, so let's go back to her.
No, we didn't.
No, it was your turn.
You did great.
Oh, good.
So if anything, we skipped you.
I think it was just a fantastic transition.
Yeah, oh, okay. There you go. Until we ruined it.
Right.
Okay.
That's what? Right.
Fine, Ben. Talk
this is
now.
A drinking episode. I'm talking now. I'm sticking with my fish theme thing and going with another one that has trout skin on the outside of it. Did I take one of yours?
No, I couldn't find it.
The Black Rocks My Kiss IPA?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I couldn't figure out which brewery it was from.
Black Rocks.
And I couldn't spell Mikis.
M-Y-K-I-S-S.
No, I just couldn't find it.
Hmm.
Yes, that would have definitely been up there. That one is fantastic.
Yeah, Mikis is... is that the genus or the species for...
Species.
Species. Of that is the... Yeah, Salmo Mikis, right? Oh, it used to be Salmo, now it's not.
It's that weird, like...
Onchorhynchus.
There it is.
Onchorhynchus micus.
Yep.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a rainbow trout. And so the Micus IPA is their rainbow trout IPA. And that's a little more... Got a little higher bitterness than the No Dignity does, but it's still not punchy in the face. Wow, make you pucker. But it's a really light and refreshing IPA. Yeah. And it's kind of a staple around here because it's fish themed.
Yeah, everybody seems to like that one. It's just a good, easy drinking, regular old IPA.
I think that it goes really well when we're talking about saltwater stuff, particularly when we're talking, when we're focusing on fish. I think that that just the...
Oh, it pairs well with a discussion about saltwater fish.
Discussions. Yep, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd see exactly where you're coming from.
They describe it as the beer pops with bright, punchy, succulent hop profile, medium-bodied and well-stocked. There we go. It's an IPA crowd pleaser.
Yeah. It's like what I always want an all-day IPA to be, where an all-day is just a little bit too bitter to be that easy drinker for me.
I think I would agree with you on that one. The all-day is like, what, 4% or 4.5%?
Yeah.
And the Micus is 7.5%. So you got to be a little bit cautious of the whole all-day
thing. You can't
drink
it literally all day.
No, no.
Yeah.
Micus was a good choice.
You know, I got to stick with the fish theme. And Black Rocks, they are in the UP, so they would refer to us as trolls, you know, below the bridge.
We'll accept it.
But it's still Michigan. And I've had a couple other Black Rocks beers, and they're just solid. Just they do a very clean, solid recipe.
Nice.
Very pleased with those guys.
Okay. For my next one, I'm going to list out another local brew, the Crooked Birch New England IPA. Does it have a name?
I got to scratch that off my list.
Does it have a name?
The Crooked Birch New England. No, see. All right. So Amy is referring to my beer that I make, one of them. And I am terrible at naming my beers. My brewery is called the Crooked Birch.
Yeah, that one just kind of rolled right out.
Yeah. But the I have four like really stock standard beers that I make, and none of them have good names.
Yeah, that New England is definitely up there as just like a solid favorite, easy to drink, awesome beer. Turns out pretty much the same every time now.
I'm getting it. Yep, yeah. I'm getting it. My son and I brew together, and we came up with the four stages of home brewing, which stage one is, can you brew something that's drinkable, right? And there's definitely been times where we brewed something with, Nope, we're just going to pour those down the drink. Yep. And the second stage is, can you drink something that's good? Because there's definitely been some that we've drank, and like, you know, we're going to drink this because, I mean, it's beer after all.
Yeah, it's beer you made. It's already pretty cool.
Right. But then you get that separate good. Then the third step is it what you were going for? Does it taste the way you hoped it would? And my, I have another beer that's now a standard that I was trying. I was going for an Irish red. It doesn't taste like an Irish red, but it's really good. It's not originally what I'm going for, right? But then that brings me to the next stage, which is, can you repeat it? And this one, it doesn't taste like an Irish red, but it's really good, and I make it a lot, and I can repeat it. So, you know, it meets the four stages. So the New England has been the hardest one to get to that, can I repeat it? Because there's so many variables that go into the New England style IPA.
Well, we've all been really enjoying it.
I'm glad to hear that.
So it's
fun.
Definitely fun to have home brew while we're drinking.
I have some in the fermentation room right now. It'll be ready in about a week.
Good timing.
Yep. Yep. It's good summer beer.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm going to go with the, I have a quick question here because I want to make, do you have the same brewery more than once on your list? Either of you?
I did.
Okay.
And then I might have to use one of them because some of them are being used. So you can do the same one.
I did not.
All right. So I want to talk about the Iron Fish forecast.
Iron Fish is a great distillery.
Yes.
Up near Traverse City. It's actually kind of at the base of Crystal Mountain.
Yeah, they're in Thompsonville. They're amazing. You can actually go there, and they do tours, which I still need to do. Mm-hmm. But they also have like a little kitchen, and you can just basically sit on, the vibe is on their front porch and look out over their rye fields.
Yeah, it's a cool spot because it feels like it doesn't feel like it's in the middle of nowhere. It actually is in the middle of nowhere. Right? You take a dirt road to get there.
Yeah.
But you're driving through farm country, and all of a sudden you pull into this cool-looking place that has this great artsy feel.
And if you are like, oh man, I'd like to go there, but it's winter. So they do these heated like base camp tents.
Oh yeah, that place is busy in the winter because it's right next to a ski lodge.
Yes. And let me tell you, I almost think the vibe is cooler because they very much set up outside like it's like a mountaineering base camp. Nice. So it's, they lean into it, and like each tent is a different type of fish. So they're like, so every time we've gone in the winter, we're like, are we going to get the trout tent, the rainbow trout tent, or are we going to get the sturgeon this time?
Nice. That's really fun.
It's fun. So the four cask I actually wanted to bring up because it was a bottle that I got as a birthday present for my friend Erica last year. And it's one of their blended whiskeys. They have a couple different finished whiskeys. And the four cask actually has four of their finished whiskeys in it, blended by their master distiller blender. And oh my God, it's so good. It's not my favorite of their batch, and that's why I wanted to be like, hey, can I do more than one distiller like twice? But we'll get to that one.
Yeah.
But the four cask is it's a thing of beauty.
That sounds tasty.
Okay.
So I'm going, you know, the juicy IPAs and the hazy IPAs are really trendy right now, but they are for good reason. I mean, good reason.
Ooh.
Wheezing in the juice from Grand Armory.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one that we regularly have here. And actually, I think the Wheezing in the Juice and the No Dignity are pretty similar.
They're really similar. I get them mixed up all the time.
Yeah, and I don't know which one I like better.
Yeah, me either.
So I'm kind of, you know.
It'd be worth a side by side, honestly.
I think that's true. Yeah.
Or a back to back.
Yeah, the Wheezing in the Juice is described as a juicy IPA for nugs and chillin' and grindage. It's actually a Pauly Shore reference from Encino Man. I don't know if you remember that movie at all.
No, I've never seen it.
Yeah. Pauly Shore was pretty cheesy back in the day. It hasn't really gotten any better since. But every once in a while, he did something that was pretty funny.
I feel like I can't tell if they taste super similar or the can is just kind of similar enough that I get them mixed up.
They have kind of that same...
Like both kind of tie-dye looking.
Yeah, and like... Kind of chilling, surfing, you mm-hmm. know, No Dignity and Wheezing.
Yeah, good vibes. Yeah, good vibes. Vibes beers. Good
vibes. And I would put a Wheezing in the Juice when I'm talking about my favorite freshwater fish. It just has that fresh feel to it. And so I thought that's, yeah.
Good pairing.
Like a top five, unexpected great fish.
Oh, yeah.
That's, I think, where that would pair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I could see it.
Yeah. Speaking of which, we're out, Amy, of beer.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you meant my list was out. I was like, oh, no. Are you kidding?
No.
Yeah, no.
So I got to get us a couple more of those.
Yes, please.
All right.
All right. We have fresh beers and we are ready to move forward with our lists.
Yeah. So you're drinking the Rogue River Brown now.
Yes.
You were drinking the Bel Air Brown before that.
It's tough to say which is better. I feel like the Bel Air, the Shorts, has like a little more of like a coffee-y taste to me.
Yeah. Almost a little cleaner, which I don't necessarily think cleaner is better.
Right.
Right, but smoother. The Rogue's got a little bit more of a punch to it.
Yeah, I think I like the Rogue better. But I'm usually more drawn to the little bit like more bitter flavors, and that one's a little more sweet.
Yeah, that makes sense. The Rogue River... The Rockford one is considered an English brown, and the Bel Air brown is considered a classic American brown. Mm. I don't know if the difference
between the two. Yeah, I have no idea what that means. Yeah. There you go.
There you go.
Okay. Guys, I'm going to have to go really lame on this next one, because this is honestly what I drink the most of on this podcast. Water. If it can explain anything about why we might have occasionally like one or two awkward breaks in the podcast, I usually have to get up to pee at least twice because I'm chugging water the entire time.
Referring back to our Please Drink Responsibly segment.
Although today is the one day I do not have water in front of me. don't think that's ever happened before. My husband is gesturing wildly because he happens to be here too. But there you go. I usually have at least two water bottles during a podcast because I drink water all the time.
I don't have an excuse. I never happen to pee all the time and I don't drink enough water.
Just goes right through you.
Charles is being responsible with water as well.
Charles has a glass of water and a water bottle right now, which is a really interesting move.
That's because... So, fun fact, when I went out on my route this morning, I could not find my water bottle. And then I came up here with the glass of water.
Oh, it was already here.
And then it was up here, and I was like, gosh darn it. I've been looking for this all day.
There you go.
I like the drink responsibly plug, Amy. That was
drink responsibly, but also always drink water.
Yeah.
There you go. That's your reminder.
Yep.
To be drinking water
Dude,
right
we keep
now.
Keep fish as pets. Drink water.
All right, Charles, how are you going to follow water?
Whiskey, obviously.
Yeah, actually. So I wanted to talk about that Long Branch bourbon we had for a while.
Ooh.
Oh, that was good.
That one I had actually gotten because Ben doesn't like scotch.
Mm-hmm. True.
And so bourbon is just this like all-American whiskey. It's hard to hate it. Mm-hmm. And so the Long Branch is actually whatever the distillery for Wild Turkey is. It's one of their like higher end whiskeys.
Yeah.
And it's like mesquite smoked and it's got some of these like oaky notes on it. And it was just, I had gotten it because I was like, it sounds a lot like Scotch Light.
Yeah, it's like Scotch without dirt in it.
Exactly.
I don't understand why you don't want to eat things from the ground. Oh, it tastes like dirt. Sounds delicious.
Yum. Hey, I like blackwater fish and I like scotch, all right?
Pine maples? Sign me up.
Wait, are we back to gin?
But there's also a really fun story about the Long Branch beyond the like, oh, I wanted to have fun with this one. We had been working through that bottle for about 3 or 4 months. And then one of my friends was like, hey, Matthew McConaughey has a whiskey. We should try it. And I said, wow, that story sounds cool. We should totally drink the Matthew McConaughey whiskey. Mm-hmm. And then I came into work the next day and I looked at the shelf while I was eating lunch and I said, God damn it. I have been drinking it for the last 3 months and didn't know it.
I wish he just had a big picture of his face on it.
So then I had to text my friend funny. And be like, so it turns out we can't try it together because I have definitely been drinking it.
Guess what? It's great.
It's amazing.
Awesome. I remember that one. That one was good.
That was a good one.
Mm-hmm. Good job, Matthew. We're on a first name basis.
Yeah, totally.
That's pretty cool. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm jealous of that.
He drives me around in his Lincoln all the time.
Isn't it a Buick?
I thought it was Lincoln. I don't know. Like one of the like old person luxury cars. One of them.
Wait, either a Lincoln or a Buick.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm honestly not sure now.
No. I find myself not caring that much.
Yeah, that's true. We're talking about Buick.
Yeah. So anyways, highly recommend it.
I think that's an excellent choice. Which one for my fourth one? You know, I'm going to go with... All right, here's what I'm going to do. The craft beer... I'm going to call it craze. Because it's not a trend anymore. It's the revolution into craft beer. That was really started by... Sierra Nevada, which they are a craft brewery out of California. You can't call them a microbrewery anymore because they're too big. But the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale was the like, you don't want a Budweiser or a Michelob or a Coors. What's the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale stuff? And all of a sudden, we all started to realize just what beer could be. That one, and you know, I'm doing two for my fourth one.
Okay.
Because it matters, right? Because mm-hmm. this is the history of craft brewing. And Bell's Oberon, which if anyone can tell me what Bell's Oberon used to be called, I'll send you a free sticker. It's originally came out circa 1991, I think, is when it came out. And it was not called Bell's Oberon. Bell's Oberon is universal enough, like, it's like all over the country. By the way, brewed in Kalamazoo, Michigan, an hour south of us. Technically Comstock, but basically Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Mm-hmm. If you don't know Oberon, you probably know Two Hearted.
Probably. That's true. Yeah, those are their two big ones.
Like, my dad drinks Two Hearted now, so I know people know what it is.
Two headaches? I mean, Two Hearted.
It's true.
Yeah. Two of those and I get a headache. But Sierra Nevada was really the one that said, not only are we going to brew, like, craft beer, but we're also going to make the culture around brewing be really cool. His head brewer came to him one day and said, so I know I've made you these really good beers, but now I have this opportunity to go start my own brewery. I hope you're not mad. Right? And let's face it, if either one of you guys said, I'm going to go start my own fish store, I'd be a little upset about it.
Yeah. But
his response was, wow, that's amazing. How can I help? And I think that's so cool. And I don't remember, that's Dogfish Head, I believe, is where that guy went with the help of the owner of Sierra Nevada, went and started Dogfish Head Brewing. So I thought that was appropriate because of the collaboration and the just how well brewers get along that Sierra Nevada needed to be mentioned because it started the craft beer craze.
Mm-hmm.
So there. And I would put Sierra Nevada, it's got a little bit of bitterness to it. So I think I would put those when we're talking about predators.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Which we haven't done a good predator podcast. We should do that.
Do they have to be predators that are larger than 6 inches?
Wow.
No, they'd be like Watercolor's endorsed predators.
That would be really fun. There are some great ones for that. But yeah. I just want to be like, is a bat a predator?
The scourge of mosquito kind.
Yeah, I got some good options for that.
Earthworm, a robin is the stuff of nightmares.
Yeah. Have you seen those up close? I mean,
you remember this, like, the scene from A Bug's Life where the bird was the monster? That gave me nightmares as a child. Yeah, it's terrifying.
You know, my least favorite kind of bird is a pissed off robin.
Really? Mm-hmm. Why? What did a pissed off robin ever do to you?
Let's just think about that for a moment, shall we?
Oh, no.
You fell into that one, didn't you?
Ooh, man.
That was a really good one,
by the way. We're
doing
wife jokes now.
For those wondering, my wife's name is Robin. So that's why a pissed off robin is my least favorite.
I'm trying to think of, well, I mean, I've never seen any kind of pissed off robin, so I wouldn't know, but...
Don't see them often, but when you do, that is scary.
Clear the area. Okay.
Okay, there
Your
we
wife's
go.
A saint, by the way.
What's that?
Your wife's a saint, by the way.
Absolutely. No question. No question.
Just want to be clear. We're not bad-mouthing her. We're,
no, never.
This is a comment on she's so chill all the time that when she's the one mad,
oh man,
something went very wrong.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm in big trouble.
All right. I pulled out, this is our last one, right?
No.
No? This is my last
one. This is the fifth one.
You said.
No, I have a...
Because that was my second to the last one.
I have a surprise entry to put in for you guys.
Sneaking in before the last round.
So I would like you guys to think very quickly, what is the number one drink you would like to share with your co-host but haven't gotten to yet?
Number one drink I would like to share with my co-host but
Because I got one.
You do?
I do.
I don't know. I only drink with you guys these days, so I don't have that many that I've been drinking lately.
For me, like, drinking is... Sorry.
Oh, my God. I told you my husband is sitting here. He decided to bring up one of my college drinks. Peppermint schnapps and Coke.
Oh, no.
Something just so objectively horrible sounding that nobody should ever drink that.
Yeah, no, brush your teeth and have a whiskey and Coke. You get the same effect.
Mm-hmm. Surprisingly pretty good. Surprisingly defensible.
Mm, sounds awful.
I'm scared. I have had... That does remind me that, like, after skiing, hot chocolate with peppermint schnapps in it is...
That's what you're supposed to do.
It's a pretty winning combo.
Yeah.
Ooh, chocolate mint. My favorite. I shouldn't say... But, it's not that I think chocolate mint is disgusting. I just think that you're ruining chocolate by adding mint to it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, have a Hershey bar and brush your teeth. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Chocolate mint ice cream, have chocolate chip ice cream and brush your teeth at the same time.
But I can't do that, so I may as well just eat it.
Yeah, or just have chocolate chip ice cream because it's better. Mm. I'm not opinionated about it at all.
I think almost everything is improved by adding mint to it. I could take mint like as just an additional herb on top of almost anything.
Mint is for gum and toothpaste. And mints.
Yeah. Well, enjoy not being able to enjoy things, Ben.
So what about you? What's the drink that you would like to share with your co-host most?
A really good Mai Tai.
That's a good one.
Mm.
The top of the list for me right now is Mitcher's American Whiskey.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Because I think... So I had a sample of this about a year ago, and ever since then, I have thought, wow, we would really need to redefine what bourbon is. Because Mitcher's American Whiskey doesn't technically class as a bourbon, because they used oak casks to age it instead of new oak casks. And that one threw the most insane vanilla note I've ever gotten from a whiskey that I was like, what are we missing out by only using new casks?
Right. I could see that.
I was like, what? We need to change that rule.
That would be fun to try.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Anyways.
I like it. Well, apparently we need to get some Mai Tais and some Michiners.
Exactly.
I'm not going to complain.
Coke and peppermint schnapps.
Big oof.
Yeah, no, I don't have that many. I drink some beers, but what beer do we drink that I haven't brought in here? Have we had Bell's Official here? That's our go-to juicy. I don't know if we've ever brought it in.
Oh, I don't think so.
We don't drink a lot of Bell's around here.
No.
But that's usually what I'm reaching for at home. Hmm. I like their cans. I like their graphic design. That's usually all it takes to sell me on a beer.
That's a good draw. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why I grabbed No Dignity for the first time. That's why I talked about Rockford Rogue River Brown and the Micus, is because they got cool patterns on them.
I'm just a sucker for good packaging.
No doubt.
Same.
Yep.
All right, am I allowed to do mine now?
Yes,
Charles,
you're allowed
to
do yours now.
Cut the line so you could do two. Yeah.
No. I wanted to... Mm-hmm. I haven't had it on the podcast.
True. Being very strict here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This one I'm not sure if we have had on the podcast, but it's definitely like a watercolors classic staple. Bean Flicker.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought about it for the first time in ages, and I wanted it. It's
we
like
haven't
a.
haven't had that in a while.
It's like, what, a coffee blonde or something
that's
like
exactly
that?
What it
yeah.
Is.
Bean Flicker is by Oddside, which is in Grand Haven, mm-hmm, so out mm-hmm. over on the lake. Good coffee blonde. It just is what it is.
Oddside and Shorts are both breweries that, like, let's do something funky and weird and mm-hmm. see if it's good. And sometimes it is. And that.
Yeah. Just really drinkable.
Bean Flicker's good.
Yeah. And so many, like, coffee beers are really rich and dark and sweet. Mm-hmm. So to have something a little lighter that just gets you that hint of coffee is perfect. Mm-hmm. I haven't thought about it in a long time.
No, I forgot it. Yeah.
We used to have that all the time.
We did.
Yeah.
It was a staple. You're right. All right. It's going back on the list, Amy.
Mm-hmm.
It must be that.
Back in the roster.
Yeah. It must be that where I've been going to get beer lately, they must not have it.
Yeah. Well, sometimes we get a little lazy and we go down to our city market and there's like a charcuterie store that has like a handful of strange beers.
Very strange.
Very like.
Yeah.
I will admit that. What was it that like. Pear.
Oh, it was a peach sour. Japanese peach sour.
Yeah, I did like that.
That's the kind of stuff that it's usually what they have. It's like seasonal but funky. Yeah.
One of the things that I love about craft brewing is do something funky and weird. Somebody's going to like it.
Yeah.
Yep. Like this guy over here.
Yeah. I've got an aunt who will absolutely eat up any of the, like, the more funky flavors, you know, toasted marshmallow, coconut, you know. Mm-hmm. Those don't do anything for me.
No?
No.
Black Rocks did a coconut brown. Oh,
but they're always like 15% too, so that's why I usually don't.
Oh, that one was
the one she goes for, because it's usually like the really, really sweet, rich, dark ones that, like, if you went and got it at the brewery, you'd get like a 10-ounce pour.
Right.
But if you're drinking it out of a can, you're getting a little more.
Yeah, that's a good split in beer.
True. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yep. Thank you. Last one, Charles.
I wanted to do the maple barrel finished whiskey from Iron Fish.
That was good.
That is the last pour from that bottle might be my favorite glass of whiskey I've ever had.
Really? Mm.
It is so good. This one has a really fun story. Iron Fish itself has the story of being established because, it's not the El Sabo. What's the river up there? I'm blanking.
Boardman?
No, the Steelhead River.
The Boardman, the Betsy, the Pierre Marquette, the El Sabo. Those are all Steelhead rivers.
I'm blanking.
The one that goes by Iron Fish?
Yeah.
That's the Boardman.
It must be the Pierre Marquette. Because the one of the co-founders... Mm-hmm. He fishes on that river. So the so the name Iron Fish, it's a steelhead trout.
Of course it is. How come I never made that connection until right now?
So he's like very much like a West Michigan guy. Like he's apparently really in that local chapter of Trout Unlimited. He has been part of the initiative for the Arctic Railing reintroduction.
That would be so cool.
But then Iron Fish collaborates with I think it's Sugarbush. There's a local maple syrup place up there. And they basically, so they produce, Iron Fish produces a maple syrup aged in bourbon barrels, which is incidentally the best maple syrup I've ever had in my life. And let's just say we're maple syrup snobs in my family. Yeah. And so we have an uncle that makes his own.
Nice.
And I still think the Iron Fish is better.
Don't tell your uncle.
Exactly. And then they have a maple syrup finished whiskey, so they exchange the casks.
That sounds good.
And it's got that bourbon like sweetness, but it's rounded out a little bit by that like maple flavor. Mm. And you know how like maple syrup will like sit on your tongue with that flavor after you've had some of it?
Yeah,
the bourbon would do that too. Mm. It was so good. Definitely going to be buying bottles of that in the future of this podcast.
That sounds good. I like it.
Because of the podcast, I actually I'm working through some of the inaugural whiskeys that Iron Fish released not too long ago, and then I think the maple syrup barrel finished whiskey is going to be my go-to standard.
Yeah, it's not bad to have a standard.
Mm-mm.
I like it. Well, I was going to finish off with talking about my brewery, but we already talked about that a little bit, but I'm going to talk about my favorite beer from my brewery. That's my chocolate vanilla stout. Mm. That's my go-to.
That's probably my favorite beer from your brewery.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's the one that I like to sit down in my brewery, look at the plants in my fish tank, put on a Tom Waits album, just chill.
Mm, it is a great chill and stare at the tank beer.
It is.
Yep. Maybe a good aquascaping beer?
But it's pretty contemplative.
Yeah.
So, you know, that would help. There's a lot going on in that one.
You know what from your brewery would actually help me aquascape? Your cider.
Ooh, that would be a good aquascaping pairing.
It's got that, like, pucker that would keep me alert. Oh, man, it's so good.
Good for creative juices.
Exactly.
Refreshing cider.
Anyway, sorry. Mm-hmm.
No, you're good. I had that on my alternate list just in case we needed to talk about that.
Mm. Yeah. The stout's probably your most consistent, right?
Yeah, and that's the one that we, like, I always want to have that on tap. That's my favorite. That's yeah. my go-to. It's a low alcohol stout, which to me, that's how stout should be.
I agree.
Flagship, if you will.
Yeah. It's the flagship. A little hint of chocolate, a little hint of vanilla. Neither of those are in your face. Very smooth. Yep, I love it.
Chocolate stout is exactly what I want from a stout. We mentioned the sours. I either like the sours or the dark black beers. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, all the dark black beers are so high octane.
That's the trend right now.
So high octane and so sweet, mm-hmm. like sickly sweet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think KBS gets a lot of blame or credit for that.
Yeah, true. Right?
Like everybody wanted to be like KBS because it was just this raging... Everybody had to have it beer, and so now everybody's trying to make it. And it's good for, like, I absolutely love a half a KBS. It's delicious.
Mm-hmm. If you go and, like, sit at the brewery and, like, have mm-hmm. a meal, it's, like, a great beer for that.
Right.
But I'm not going to drink a whole KBS at home.
No. Sip one.
Until you said contemplative, mm-hmm. if I had been asked one word to describe that chocolate stout, the word I would have used was balanced.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
It's good. Mm-hmm. It's really good.
It is really good.
it's a fun one. I don't have it on tap right now, but I do have it in the fermenting. I do have it fermenting right now. So soon.
Cool.
Pretty soon.
Yep. Do you do howlers for podcast listeners who really want to try it?
I might consider it.
If you ask really nicely.
Yes, really nicely. Yes. I do have a lot of howlers. I do love to share my beer. It's true. Mm. Well,
this was our 100th podcast.
Wow. Do we have honorable mentions?
I have an honorable mention. I wanted to say Buffalo Trace.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Because I think that is probably the most accessible whiskey mm-hmm. that I've had. Mm-hmm. And... so anytime someone's new to whiskey, whether it be a coworker or outside of work, mm-hmm. Buffalo Trace is usually the bottle that I reach for to give them a try. It's not going to slam you in the face. It's got a soft evolution, so it's not like complex, but it's got something.
Yeah.
And I think it's the best bang for your buck whiskey.
I should mention the Copali chocolate rum, cacao rum,
oh my God,
that I brought in and shared with everybody. That should be a good honorable mention.
Mm-hmm. I was going to bring up an M43.
Yeah,
I always do an
M43. Right. That's tasty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the standard to me. The standard New England style IPA is that one.
Yeah, it's like the one.
Yep, start there.
If it's got instructions on the can, you're in a good starting place.
Yeah. Like Guinness to me is the standard for a stout.
Yeah, and it has instructions on the can.
That's true. Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I want to give a non-alcoholic honorable mention to a Jarritos. Always Jarritos.
Yes. Yes.
A good mango Jarrito.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any flavor. Mm-hmm.
I think their Mandarin's my favorite.
Yeah.
We got to give some shout outs too to some of the other good local breweries here in town. Arvon is a favorite. I was really sad to see Elks close.
I've been to Brewery Vivant a few times with my friends.
It's mm-hmm. outstanding.
And I have had, and I say this as we've made it very clear, I'm not a beer guy.
Yeah.
I've had some excellent beers mm-hmm. there.
Yeah. New Belgium. You like their Dragon's Milk too.
I do.
Yeah.
I do like the Dragon's Milk.
New Holland. I get them mixed up.
New Belgium's out of Fort Collins.
New Belgium has Fat Tire. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. Dragon's Milk, you got to be careful though. That one will sneak up on you.
Yeah.
It's got a lot more alcohol than you think on the taste.
That's definitely
from the taste.
To me, because they have all the funky flavors. That's like the epitome of the so sweet, so dark, and then you throw in all sorts of flavors too.
The big one that we've got to mention because it has also been a standard brewery here, and they have helped us out with a couple of our parties, is Grey Line.
Mm.
Right? What's that beer called? Mosaic.
Yes, they're
Mazaka.
Mazaka IPA, yeah.
Yep, the Grey Line Mazaka. And to me, their Fade, that is one of the best. It's a nitro stout. That is one of the best stouts.
Yeah.
But Grey Line is, we do some parties here with Art Prize. We've done a couple of them. And Greyline has been a big supporter of that, so we definitely want to give a good shout out to Greyline.
Yeah, they don't have the widest roster, but every beer on it is like, it just is perfectly what it is.
It is, yeah, that's the way to describe it. Yep. The brewery, the head brewer there and owner is a phenomenal brewer. He does it right.
A good local distillery, Gray Skies.
Oh, yeah. No, they changed their name.
Yeah, it's Eastern Kill now.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
Yeah. Their breakfast rye is probably my favorite. Mm-hmm. If you haven't noticed, I like maple finished whiskeys.
I really like that one.
That one, rye can be a little too spicy for me, but that one, like, it softens the edges a little bit, just enough for it to be really enjoyable.
I love a rye whiskey and a rye beer.
I do love, they're growing on me, mm-hmm. But the breakfast rye was the one that got me in that door.
The New Holland Knickerbocker Gin is what got me into the door on gins.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Negronis is what got me in the door on gins.
So I understand that this is kind of a weird thing for us to be talking about, right? But we have some good reasons for it. Like we said, it is our 100th episode, and I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we're just feeling a little celebratory.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
We wanted to share a little of us with you, like right. us.
What we do is we sit around and we have some drinks and we talk about fish. I remember those days of sitting around the bar with some friends talking about aquariums or talking whatever topic was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what we modeled this whole podcast about was, you know, sit around and have some drinks and let's get into some in-depth conversations about some things that we're really passionate about. And one of the things that we always make sure we start out our podcast with, downstairs we have a drink with whoever's working, we start out our podcast with a good cheers.
Yes.
Yeah.
And every night.
One night we forgot.
That podcast was not released.
It was terrible. No one will ever hear that podcast.
You will never know what happened on the night we didn't cheers.
That was the podcast that was so horrible that I went home.
Yeah. So, cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Believe it or not, I consider that an extremely important tradition. So, beers with friends. Good beers, good cheers. Good times.
The best drink is the one that you're having with your friends, and the best fish stories are the ones you get to tell with friends.
Yeah, there you go. I like that.
We hope that you all see it that way too, because we've really enjoyed getting to know you, doing this podcast, getting your feedback, meeting some like minds, and growing this hobby we all love.
When you consistently post in the Facebook group, send us emails, we do remember you, mm-hmm. and we're always wishing you the best, and we do ask questions like, how's that guy from Sweden doing right now?
Yeah.
Have you heard from him recently?
So thank you so much for being a part of this process and wanting to listen to us every week.
Yeah, I'm pretty impressed that people listen. I mean, I think we're really cool and interesting, but apparently some other people do too, so I think that's pretty great.
That's great stuff.
Good beers with friends.
All right, well, you guys know where to find us, I hope, by now, but check us out on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Send us an email to podcast@watercolorsaquariumgallery.com. Get in touch however you can, and check out watercolorsaquariumgallery.com to see if there's anything you want to buy from us, because that's why we do it. Sorry.
It's true.
Believe it or not, our beers are not free.
But if you do want to send us over a beer or a six pack, there'll be an option there for you too.
Or suggestions on drinks you think we should try.
Ooh, yes, please.
Yeah, we need those ideas too.
Yeah, that is definitely like 80% of the reason for doing this. We need more stuff to try.
Yeah, there you go. Well, thank you so much for listening. Let's have lots of fun and keep those hands wet. Cheers.
Cheers.